I am not sure why this is so difficult for you to manage, Jane. You wanted a task you might make your own, and the flowers for St. Paul's seem something even you could take on without too much of a palaver. Yet here we are." The Dowager spread her hands in exasperation, as if she were stating a wholly predictable, yet utterly avoidable calamity. While uttering these words, the Dowager assumed an expression of such disappointment that her daughter hung her head and replied in a tone of dismay and contrition, "I am so sorry, Mama. Lily loves yellow roses, and so I assumed they would be a nice addition to the floral arrangements." "Jane, I imagined I would not have to spell out such things for you, but I see I was mistaken. Yellow roses symbolize jealousy and infidelity. Because of this, I would have thought it obvious how inappropriate they are for a wedding. Orange blossoms, however, given Her Majesty's preference for them, are always acceptable." "Her Majesty has always demonstrated myrtle can be charming in a bouquet. In addition, white or pink roses, lily of the valley, white or purple violets, and even camellias, as long as they are white or pink, are acceptable. Yellow roses are most certainly not." Adopting the tone of voice one might use with a recalcitrant toddler who has been given and then lost their final opportunity for compliance, the Dowager informed her daughter, "It is best if you concentrate all of your efforts on ensuring you are dressed appropriately for the wedding. After all, Jane, Lily is marrying into the aristocracy and raising your family up from the drop in status to which you chose to subject it through your marriage. The mother of a future countess should adhere to, or in your case, aim to reach a certain baseline standard of fashionable style, at least while you are in London. Once you return to the heathen backwoods you call home, I am sure no one will care if you revert to your usual outdated, unflattering garb." Jane hung her head even lower and allowed this one task she was hoping to perform for her daughter to be taken away from her. Tabitha watched this scene play out, unsure whether to interject. While Hamish, Laird McAllister, had been detained in Edinburgh for work, Jane McAllister was staying at Chesterton House in anticipation of the impending marriage of her daughter, Lily, to Viscount Tobias. While it might be considered more appropriate for her to stay with the Dowager, Tabitha had made the offer of her home, and Jane jumped at the opportunity. The Dowager might have been more inclined to comment on this breach of social etiquette, if not that Jane's uncle, the irascible Uncle Duncan, was also staying with Tabitha and Wolfe, and the Dowager did not intend to invite that uncivilized heathen Scot to set foot over her threshold. The truth was, while she was somewhat miffed her daughter preferred to stay elsewhere, the Dowager did not have an interest in hosting her. The Dowager found her daughter to be dull and insipid. She viewed her own ability to cow Jane so completely as proof of the woman's appalling timidity. Added to these sins was Jane's complete lack of style and sense of fashion. The Dowager really didn't need her neighbours, particularly the very nosy Lady Davenport, judging her as Jane arrived in one of the potato sacks she deemed a dress. And then there was Jane's husband, Laird Hamish McAllister. It was the Dowager's late son Jonathan's decision to allow the marriage. Jane's debut into society had been deemed a failure, at least by her mother. Despite lacking a real English title, Hamish possessed considerable landholdings and inherited a small fortune after his father's passing. Jonathan considered Hamish's offer for his sister to be the very best she was likely to receive. Eager to get at least one sister off his hands as soon as possible, Jonathan happily gave his blessing to the union, despite his mother's well-known feelings about Scotland and its people. All in all, the Dowager's relief at not having to host her daughter and her family far outweighed any grievance she was inclined to feel at their evident reciprocal disinterest in staying with her. As it was, the Dowager presumed she would be obliged to offer lodging to her other daughter, Edith, over the actual wedding.